in. All right, and with that, I'd like to introduce Dr. Howard Hill, who's president of the National Pork Producers Council.
Thanks, Dave. For those of you that were here last year, I left my cell phone over there. As I was doing this, my cell phone went off, and needless to say, I got some heat over that. Well, good morning. As Dave said, I'm Dr. Howard Hill. I'm president of the National Pork Producers Council, and I'm a veterinarian and a pork producer from Cambridge, Iowa, which Cambridge, Iowa is just about 35 miles up the interstate here. I'd like to welcome all of you to the National Pork Producers 26th World Pork Expo, the largest pork industry trade show and exhibition in the world. We expect to have close to 20,000 people join us this year at Expo over the next 3 days. Again, we're setting a record for exhibits. We have almost 400 exhibitors, and we have nearly 900 entrants with 2,500 hogs in the World Pork Expo Junior National Hog Show. We had just 300 about 7 years ago, so we've had tremendous growth in that area. I would encourage you to go see the competition. Those kids work very hard with their animals, and obviously they're some of the leaders of our industry for the future. As always, we will have thousands of pork producers from states across the country and from other countries. Last year we had people from 38 other countries, and we expect similar numbers this year. People have the opportunity to hear 20 different presentations and panel discussions on various pork industry topics. I would encourage you to attend tomorrow's strategic investment program lunch upstairs in the Varied Industry Building, where our U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack will be speaking. And I'm sure all of you will be interested in the PED summit that we're having this afternoon. That's going to be from 2:30 to 4, and that'll be in the Varied Industry Building. This side better. Okay. Before I turn things over for a series of updates on our issues, I want to mention a couple of numbers from NPPC. We're continuing to grow, and more producers are recognizing the importance of having a strong voice in Washington, D.C. to advocate on their behalf with Congress and the administration. In fact, year to date, our revenues are up over 9%. And so far this year, we've added 80 new investors, as we call them. These are people who are making voluntary checkoff contributions for the strategic investment program. NPPC is the voice of pork producers in Washington, fighting for reasonable legislation and regulations, opening new markets for U.S. pork, and protecting the livelihood of producers. And now we're here at the Iowa State Fairgrounds celebrating our successes and the success of the U.S. pork industry. So thank you again for coming to the Expo. If you need anything or want any interviews, an NPPC board member, you can contact Dave. And Megan is here, or I think she is. Well, here, Megan right in front. And then, of course, we have the McCormick Communication Group that will help you, Janice Keene and Marlis Miller. So, Dave?
Thank you, Howard. Our first update is going to be from NPPC's Dallas Hockman, who is Vice President of Industry Relations, and Jared Sutton, who's Assistant Vice President of Channel Marketing with the National Pork Board.
Well, good morning, everyone. Again, my name is Dallas Hockman, and you'll hear from Jared shortly. What we want to talk to you today about is the dialogue that we've had with our customers. Over the past 2 years, as you're well aware, and much of your stories have been written about announcements and challenges that has been been made on our industry from our customers, both retail and food service. Over the past 18 months, we have engaged in an outreach program to engage with our customers on these issues facing our industry. It's been a very difficult time for our producers in this process, but as well it's been a difficult time for our customers. We all know the pressure that's been applied to them on the campaigns from many of the activist groups that's showing up, but it's created a great opportunity for us. We've always had a great relation with the meat buyers, if you would, of these companies, but we recognized that the real opportunity lied in reaching out to what we consider to be the corporate C-suite. That is, those individuals that's engaged in brand marketing, corporate responsibility and sustainability, those kind of individuals that are ultimately making these decisions today, unlike traditional where it was a supply chain management decision. As a result of that, we have had over 100 interactions with these customers that range all the way from restaurant, food service, QSR, major retailers, industry associations such as the National Restaurant Association, Food Marketing Institute. Just about at any given place that we can, we've been joined at the hip, traveling all over the country, meeting with these individuals. What we have found is very much an open and engaging atmosphere. Many of these meetings taking 2 to 3 hours. In the past, where we were lucky if we may have got 15 to 20 minutes, there is definitely a need and a desire for these companies now to better understand where their protein comes from, and most importantly, how it is produced and what the commitment that our industry has on it. I will say, you know, and this, it goes, we have a saying that we use a lot is that the era of don't ask, don't tell is over. It's our challenge, it's our opportunity to engage these individuals with potential issues, and Jared will talk more about those, that may be coming up in the news and that our activist groups and that might be using to talk about the commitment that our industry has, why it is that we choose to do what we do, what the production practices are, and what the rationale is with that. We have kind of a very simple message in the process of delivery. First and foremost, we support choice. We have producers who stand ready and willing to produce a variety of different types of products, and we recognize that the retail and food service industry is meeting the needs of different consumers, and so we're very much in support of choice. Secondly, there's definitely a need for transparency, the need to be more transparent in what we do, how we do it, inviting our customers to the farm, talking about that, being more aggressive in creating communication pieces, websites, as you see with the new porkcares.com, that's all about telling the sustainability story. But last, in that three-tiered program, has to come with integrity. We have to have honest dialogue and discussion with this in the integrity side. This whole concept of using, whether it be animal welfare or food safety, as a competitive position to advance themselves in the marketplace is definitely not something that we stand for. We do not think animal welfare or food safety should be used as a competitive marketing tool. It is one that we think is all across the board that we're committed to. And with that, we lead off with, again, our commitment on animal welfare. You know, what we're doing, why we're doing it, and the process there. Secondly, we talk about sustainability, how our industry is the progress that we've made and the impact these decisions may have. Third, we talk about the potential economic impact that these decisions that are made that may have on not only our industry, but ultimately the cost of the product. And lastly, it's becoming more and more prevalent and understanding as in this world that we live in today, in this complex nature of our production chain, the supply chain management and the need for in this integrity of traceability and understanding how this product arrives at their table or store or shelf, and that there has to be a time frame given in all of these discussions. And so that's kind of the way that we look at it and the discussions going, and so I'm going to turn it over to Jared and give you a little bit more detail of how those discussions are.
Thank you, Dallas.
I'm going to cover up your notes. I don't want to say what you're going to say. I appreciate the opportunity to be here with our sister organization. My name's Jared Sutton. I'm with the National Pork Board. And over the last few years especially, Dallas and I go way back, it's been a seamless partnership on behalf of America's pork producers for us to really put forth a proactive outreach to the food chain more aggressively than we've done in the past. And it's really a 1-2 punch that we bring to the table. As Dallas said, we've had the opportunity to sit across boardroom tables from executives at companies like Walmart and McDonald's and the usual suspects in the food retailing industry, as well as their associations that they belong to that represent their interests all across the country and around the globe, and really share with them the tremendous story, certainly, that we feel our producers have as it relates to pigs becoming pork. And I think Dallas gave the example of the understanding that, I guess, key lesson that we learned early on. There's a lot of folks that are in the food retailing business may not have as in-depth of an understanding of the actual production practices, specifically for pork, that we would hope that they would. And so, unfortunately, some of the decisions that were being contemplated and ultimately made didn't have all of the facts in front of them prior to that. And really what set off the cascade effect for us was in January of 2012, when McDonald's made an announcement to eliminate the use of gestation stalls in its supply chain. We were deeply engaged with marketing at McDonald's, with the culinary team at McDonald's, with the procurement team, doing what we've always done, enhancing the demand for pork products, working to create new promotional opportunities for pork and, as I said, drive demand. And none of those folks were aware of or involved in the discussions internally about ultimately that decision. And as I said, a cascade effect was a result of that through the industry. And so pork producers, as they always do, moved quickly in March of 2012, passed a resolution at Pork Forum that really read specifically a piece of that: channel partners fully understand, or that we would put forth an effort so that our channel partners would fully understand the animal welfare, environmental, and producer sustainability consequences of their marketing decisions. And that's a really key piece to all of this. As Dallas said, the verification, the traceability, the things, the sourcing of products, and most importantly, there's other things. It may be the issue of sow housing today. There are other things that certainly we know other groups that may not share the same agenda as we do have on their short list for our industry. And so it was imperative for us, we felt, as an industry, to ensure that our customers were fully aware of how pigs become pork, transparency to a T. And so our goal, as we established out of that Pork Forum, was really threefold. First of all, we want to engage our food chain partners at a new level and ensure that they become a credible source of information as it relates to pork industry production practices and potential vulnerabilities. We wanted to be a partner with them in crafting consumer-facing messages, and we really ultimately, long-term, continue to build confidence in pork. And so that's how we kind of began this approach and just evolved into a different kind of engagement. We've got a team of experts on both the food service and retail marketing side, as well as international, that's worked to continue to develop new product opportunities and retail merchandising strategies, again, aimed at enhancing the demand for pork. Our role is to maybe go a couple more rungs up the ladder and knock on the door of the corporate suites and ensure that we're having dialogue with those key decision makers and educating them on the facts as to what all is happening within our industry. It's really about transparency in pork production. We took an honest look at ourselves, interviewed a lot of folks within the industry to find out what is the short list of potential vulnerabilities that our industry faces. And so pork producers have a long history and track record of embracing technology and doing more with less, while at the same time improving the welfare of the pig. What a tremendous story. We need to ensure that our customers fully understand and appreciate that. So we developed this short list of why we raise pigs indoors. There's a lot of reasons that we do that, and certainly wanted to ensure that we were sharing that with our customers. But there's other things too. There's an intense debate on antibiotic usage in livestock production right now. So we wanted to look at that, take a deep, hard look at that from a pork industry's lens. Same thing with other technologies like the use of ractopamine And, you know, all of the talk that's happening in the industry about that. We looked at production practices that are longstanding, like castration and tail docking and overall pain management of piglet processing. And also looking at euthanasia. It's never an easy topic to talk about, but obviously something that is required in production. And so what is the best way to talk about that? So a transparency in pork production, we set off on an exploration in consumer insights. What do people know about this? What does the general consuming population know? What is their level of concern? And most importantly, how do we develop an effective communication messaging strategy to help our retail and food service customers? We put together some business-to-business analytics. We call this our door-opening content. We've conducted some economic analysis. We've done the same on the sustainability side, working with universities to help our customers understand better from a business perspective why we do these things, what it means to not only cost, wholesale supply and costs, but also you know, changes that could potentially affect the resource effects of changing those practices. And then ultimately working with those customers as they're evaluating company decisions on farm production practices within their supply chain. So we created this door-opening content on the hot topics. We've got the effective messaging strategy that we continue to test and refresh as we talk to consumers about it. We launched in March of this year an official overhaul, I'll say, of our porkcares.org website, where all of that content is living today. And so certainly encourage, whenever I get an opportunity to plug that, give people the direction to visit there and find more information on all of those topics and more. We developed a short list of target accounts, as we call them, target customers that we wanted to get out and visit with. As Dallas said, well over 100 of those companies. We spent an awful lot of time together. In fact, Easter dinner together, we spent that much time over the last year and a half traveling across the country and sharing this information. As Dallas said, we'll have maybe an hour, hour and a half of time scheduled with these companies and find ourselves in 3 to 4 hour discussions. And on behalf of producers, that's certainly a good thing. Our lessons learned through this whole process, again, nearing 2 years in its deployment phase, timeliness is critical. Our customers want to know what they need to know immediately. At the speed of which things move today, those customers want to know from us as quick as they can what's happening and obviously what resources are available to them as they work to stand beside us and support our industry. And really, I think the most important takeaway that we've gotten consistently from every one of these meetings is the question of what are you as an industry doing to tell your story to consumers? So what are farmers doing, in particular pork producers, to address some of these challenges, to engage in the debate that's happening, and ultimately to tell their story? We've got a tremendous story, as I said in the beginning, and so the more strategies that we can employ to begin to tell that story and share the positive, proactive work that America's pork producers are doing on behalf of animals, on behalf of consumers, to meet the demands globally is certainly critical for our future. And so that's a key point as we continue to partner with our customers in focusing on telling our producers' story. I'll turn it back over to Dallas.
One of the things to bring light to this subject and to the database that's been built and the dialogue and the relationships probably is best served by what I refer to as the perfect storm we faced here a few months ago. As you many probably remember, we had an undercover video that came about in Kentucky, and it had these three components that when you add them all together, we were very concerned that it could potentially lead to the, quote, LFTB issue for the pork industry. There was an undercover video, one. There was an award-winning journalist from the New York Times writing a story about the video, but more importantly, it was an unveiling of a new production practice that, for all practical, the consuming public and our customers really didn't know that much about, which is the PED virus that is dominating the discussions for industry today. Any way that you look at it, demonstrating the fact of eviscerating young pigs that's died and hydrolyzing their intestines and feeding them back to the sows is not a pretty thing. in any way, shape, or form. We were tremendously concerned about the impact of the reaction that our customers may have. And the intent of the whole video and that was to kind of put pressure and did you know? As a result of this, we got word of it. We engaged our crisis management team. And within 24 hours of the notice of this coming out, we had contacted all of our major customers. We had a conference call with them. We had our experts, in this case from MPPC, Pork Board and Industry, ASV, on a conference call to ask all the questions that they had regarding this and the rationale of why. And most importantly, this demonstrated to me more than ever before that when this industry comes together with a unified voice, we can do anything. And that was the key message. We had a unified voice, that the rationale of why we're doing this, there's no alternative solution. We don't have a vaccine today. This is not a consuming public issue from a food safety. And ultimately, we're doing this to save pigs' lives. And so within 24 hours of our notice and prior to the video and the story getting released, we had contact with all the major customers. As a result of that, we had not one customer, either food service, retail, or that, they reacted in kind to put any kind of constraints on the supply chain, and more importantly, they were very appreciative of it. This is what we're talking about as it relates to you having the relationship, responding very quickly, reaching out to them, and engaging with them with our experts and having the answers that they needed on a very short order basis to make sure that they understood the process. And so we continue down this road in discovery. We're working on lots of opportunities, you know, with them. If there's any, which I even hate to say, positive that you can associate with PED, which is terrible, but it has given pause to our customers because supply and price ultimately is the key drivers. And so this has given us an opportunity to be in there and talk about them, all these other things that we're doing, and the reaction of these impacts on our industry. So with that, that kind of gives you a summary. We'd be more than willing, Dave, to take a few questions. I know we've got other things, but if you have any specifics in regards to our meetings and questions you may have from our customers, I would be more than happy to give them. Yes, Tip?
So when you measure your trends in announcements by end users, by retailers about making decisions based on husbandry practices, their purchasing decisions, are you seeing, okay, that's slowed down? Are you seeing any indication the pendulum is starting to swing back? Are you seeing less indication or maybe less interest on the part of those retailers to not carry through with some of those purchasing based on production practices?
Well, first of all, we have a simple thing that I say. You don't know what you don't know. There's no question. We've heard it time and time again from these meetings that says we had no idea of the consequences of some of these actions. In many cases, if they have said if they had it to do over again, they would have made a different decision. More importantly, our challenge and opportunity is to prevent these from happening on future decisions on whatever that may be on production practices, is to gain knowledge from them. Have we seen any of our customers who have made a prior announcement, specifically in this case on sow housing, say they're going to redact it or, you know, no, we haven't. But I would also say that they've also learned the difficulty that it's going to be in meeting the deadline or whatever that it was, because they're beginning to realize after discussion with their suppliers and that while there has been some movement in that direction, it's very slow. And our hope is more than that we can go back and measure on those specific announcements on sow housing, that we're not facing the same issues on whether it be antibiotics or whether it be on the next issue, whatever it may be that's coming up. More importantly, is prior to making those, let's have some discussion. Because that's our ask. Primarily, if you have concerns, you're thinking about something, give us a call and let us talk about it. We would rather not deal or learn about this in some press release side of the equation. Next question.
What portion of the industry is still using gestation stalls? I know there's a study out of the University of Texas.
Sure. Actually, and there's there's a study in the works now of kind of re-looking at that. There's no question we've had some, the industry is making some progress in that regard. We don't know specifically. This gets very complicated because first and foremost, we should say, there is no product showing up in the consuming marketplace that's using this as a product differentiation, like we see with caged eggs, or that you see none of that taking place, you know, in the product marketing side. Secondly, is the realization has come from some customers that they're going to have to pay a premium if they want to get that product, which there has begun some of that to take place. But to the best of our ability, we're the study from Ron Plaintiff from University of Missouri is kind of moving in that direction where the idea was that we thought, you know, we're going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, probably, you know, 20% of the industry moving in that direction. But we're far removed from any substantial volume. The other thing you have to look at in all of this is the supply chain matrix. How do you trace that product? How is it integrated, I mean, throughout not only producers, but the packers, the processors, the distributors? All of this has to be done in a way to help ensure. So there is some work being done in that, but from a general side of the equation, we're seeing somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, 2 to 3% annually, kind of moving in that direction. By no means are we seeing all new construction, for example, moving that direction. It's split.
I would just add, you know, one key point in these discussions with our business partners, our customers, is the semantics of doing business. Economic incentives will drive whatever change these customers are looking for. And so if there, as Dallas said, is a premium for any type of a change, and we see that, there's antibiotic-free meat products, as he said, we're all about choice. There's a cost that comes associated with that. And those are the conversations that we're really focused on ensuring our customers can understand. We had a retail advisory committee. It meets twice a year, and we call that our RAC. It represents about 80% or so of the retail ACV in this country, where executive decision makers come together, and we talk a lot about the meat business, obviously a lot about pork. We had a spokesperson from AgStar visit with our retail partners to share with them the business of producing pork in nitty-gritty detail. And it was about a 3.5-hour discussion where retail business operators came out of there saying, man, I had no idea the costs that were associated with farming and raising hogs today. That's an important point, I think, for our producers across the country to understand, is that as they're making decisions based on, you know, long-term for their farm, some of these companies may be making decisions based on last quarter's numbers or the attempt to get next quarter's numbers. And so shifting and expanding that conversation to broaden their knowledge and understanding has been a critical point and focus of ours.
Well, there's no question that we're seeing, you know, segmentation that's occurring in the, you know, organic side of the thing. There's Walmart, for example, is launching a whole major new effort to make organic part of their everyday low price side of the equation. We don't spend a lot of time on the organic or the natural. You know, those are qualifications by USDA. You can USDA certification that's there. Those, in most cases, comes with a premium associated with them. For the consumers who want to buy that and are willing to pay a premium for it, that premium is in turn passed down throughout the chain to the producers and that. And we're okay with that. That's part of our argument in all of this. If we'd started this discussion to begin with those customers willing to demonstrate they're stepping out and paying a premium for whatever type of product on sow housing or whatever it is, that's great. They can do that because that's usually demonstrated in the fact that the consumers are willing to pay for it. I will say that in general, you know, what we're seeing now is this competitive market turbulence that's going on out there of, you know, especially in the food service arena, there is no more geographic expansion. It's really how do we steal market share from our competition in that side. And so there's, whether it be fresh, whether it be local, you know, we had a discussion with one major food service supplier was talking about local and how they work into it, you know, and defining local was within 300 miles of the store. You know, so we're having those debates. The problem they're running into, especially more so in the food service arena, is they want consistent product offering at every store. And so if they go through a distribution center and all that, the complications that run into this, regardless of whether it's sow housing or organic or local, how it is that you insert that into your supply chain so that it can be represented in all the stores. Because the one thing that, whether it be the retailer or the food service, they don't want to have something that says our Southeast division is much better than the rest, and so we can supply all of that, but we can't supply the rest of the country. So we don't have a whole lot of discussions on the organic side of the equation.
I think, you know, the key is we're all about choice and representing all of America's pork producers. There's needs to be an economic incentive to get you know, those producers to meet those demands, whatever they may be. And I think a key component to our messaging is sustainability. And that's a buzzword throughout the industry, probably lots of industries, and probably defined a lot of different ways. From my humble Indiana roots in education, it means you got to make money, because if you ain't making money, you're not going to be around for very long, and there's nothing sustainable about that. And so that's a key point for customers to understand. Set realistic expectations. Ultimately, the consumer pays for everything, but there needs to be that understanding up and down the supply chain of what's realistic and what's not. Balancing that conversation out, to your point, is all of the science behind each of these claims, whatever those may be. And that's a critical component. There's a consumer segment that's interested in organic products, as natural products, as others. And there are producers willing to meet that demand. But the science says, here are the facts. There's no nutritional benefits one way or another. Again, producers have a long history and track record. We raise hogs a lot different today than we did when I was a kid on the farm in Indiana. And the pork is better today as a result of it. And the welfare for the animals is better as a result of it. So tying all of this together, looking at it from a macro level, is really our focus with these major food retailing companies.
How do you bridge the gap, though? Because you said as a pork producer, you have a definition of sustainability. The customer might have a whole different definition. How do you bridge that to make sure when you say sustainable, it means the same thing?
Critical, and that's our opportunity. And so we've developed what we call our CRM database, customer relations management, that's well over 2,000 contacts now. So as Dallas said in the beginning, previously we may have focused on the merchandising folks at these retailers to put promotions together and drive more pork tonnage through the system. Let's enhance the demand for pork. Today we're also talking to, along with those folks, sustainability officers. We've met with titles like the Director of Societal Impact. If this company makes a decision, how's that going to impact society? If a director of brand integrity, what does that mean? Brand reputation is everything in this incredibly turbulent marketplace. All of those folks are thinking about sustainability. Walmart has a major initiative. McDonald's working on a major initiative. Our job is to ensure that those companies know exactly what the definition of sustainability is for the pork industry, and then align ourselves together so that we all have an understanding of what's been done to this point and we're moving in the right direction together.
I think also the stark realization for us in this, it's not their job to reach out to us for these questions. It's our job to come to them and tell them what we're doing. We have got a great story to tell. We've talked to each other for years about it. We've just done a poor job of telling them about it. And so again, much of this work that we're compiling and putting together for us is the realization of how you take these in-depth scientific papers and reports and all of this stuff and put them into 1 to 2 page cliff notes of key points that demonstrate to them, yes, we've done it. Yes, the pork industry has a great history of doing exactly what you think we should be doing. We were at a recent conference and talking about this, and a comment that was made is how it is that we bring the Red Barn image to our industry, but yet that doesn't have a Red Barn on the property. The point being is we still care about all this stuff and that we're committed to it. And our industry has a great, I think more so than any of the other species groups, and at least that's what we're told by more and more of these, that we've done a great job of raising our product, we've just done a poor job of raising our voice with our customers and getting the information to them and to the right people. We had never done a sustainability report, even though we sit around and we see all of our companies that we work with have sustainability officers, and every year they create a sustainability report. Our industry had not created one. We came together and created one that we can now deliver to these individuals who now take that information and are now using it. So it is an element now of having those people that we've identified. We have a list of those companies who have sustainability officers or people who are in charge of that, that now we've segmented off. And now we're sending that information specific to them on these issues. And not just broadcasting all of this stuff to everyone within the organization, because we just got so much. And like most things, what we discovered, a lot of the information that we were giving to our historical contacts wasn't being shared within, and it's no different than all of our other companies here.
Let me make one more point. Obviously, we've never met a Mike that we don't like, but I know on time, there's a couple of key points that he just touched on, and then we'll get to Theo. We have two events coming up this summer, one end of June, one actually in September, where we're working together, bringing communications and public relations officers within these top companies. We say top companies, it's the top 15 or so retail companies. It's the top 20 or so food service companies, short list of the movers and shakers. Bringing those folks to Iowa, in this case, in June, giving them an in-depth review of all of the messaging research that we've developed, you know, that we've done, the strategies that we've done. If you got consumers asking about this stuff, here's how you answer those questions. And most importantly, taking them out to the farm, giving all of these folks that come from major metropolitan areas with no understanding, no history, probably not even a grandparent's farm to visit, no understanding of farming today, an in-depth tour and experience of how pigs are raised today. Get on the farm. Probably have to shower in and shower out, and here's why. Those are great messages to tell and share, and most importantly, experience. We're going to do the same thing in the late summer, early fall with sustainability officers, those directors of brand integrity, societal impact, sustainability, doing the same thing in conjunction with our partners at the University of Arkansas so that those folks can get an in-depth review and leave with an understanding of pork's sustainability story, defining how we got to where we are, the 50-year look-back study, what we're doing today, defining sustainability, the pillars of our measurement and setting key performance indicators moving forward, working with those companies to establish a better understanding and, more importantly, alignment, as well as a farm tour so you can see it all happening, ultimately creating a stronger partnership moving forward. Do we have time?
Yeah, I know Theo had a question.
Okay, Theo.
Two more, and then we got to...
We'll be around.
Okay.
Yeah.
Derek, with respect to talking to the top movers and shakers in both the retail and the food service side, are you addressing to them the question of consistency of product,
yeah,
and consistency of price for that product, or are they asking you those questions? And what do you tell them?
Good question. So consistency of product is critical. A lot of things in the work on behalf of the industry to strengthen what some of the things we're doing to produce good pork. Again, I talk about when I was a kid growing up in Indiana, the way we raised hogs was different. my dad, when they're retired and spending their winters down in Florida talking to other retired farmers, you know, the pork is different today, and it's a lot better today. It's more consistent because of all of these things that we've done. So, Theo, your question is right on. Our starting point is a very, very elementary base, and then we'll build on it from there and start connecting all of these dots together. Everything is based on, you know, our We Care principles of why we do what we do, and there's science that supports all that, but we're going in with the Cliff Notes version and the summary and ensuring that those folks that are asking those questions and we're having dialogue with understand how all of these things that we're doing on the farm result in that consistent quality, affordable price product that they've become accustomed to. As Dallas said, supply is tight right now. That has created another opportunity for us to have dialogue with these customers.
And I tell you, Theo, consistency and product quality is way down the list. You know, it's, we're not getting beat up on that issue.
Yeah.
Even with respect to PEDV and the supply pressure we see, nope. Has that been offset?
Supply availability and price is a totally different discussion. That's the number one and two points, regardless of what meeting we go to. But product quality and consistency really is not something that we're getting hammered on as it relates to the product offering.
So I'm Laura Burton, National Hog Farmer, and I've been to Mercy for Animals breast conferences, and it was a big aha moment for me to realize how intentional and extortion-like, blackmail-like, I guess I would have to say, their approach is with retailers. So as I'm listening to you talk about how you work so hard to build these relationships and to inform our industry partners on how things are happening and why, and why we do what they do, I'm interested in your strategy, because I realize that if you might have an industry partner who's aligning or understanding or, you know, vocally supportive of the pork industry, that puts a target on their back. And then this whole horrifying process of taking a video in their supplier's operation happens. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just interested in learning a little bit more about your strategy when that sort of thing happens. Do you have response plans? Do you try to set up for them to come to you to help them? I know you set up panels and that sort of thing. I'm going to stop talking and let you tell me.
Well, first of all, we have to look at within the activist groups, whether it be Mercy for Animals or HSUS, which is the primary two, it's very different. There's no question Mercy for Animals, they make it very clear. If you let them talk for 2 minutes, they have a very much of a vegan strategy that they come out on. So they are, this week, they are picketing the Walmart shareholder meeting. That part of it is not a big issue, you know, as the bigger issue has come from the major push that goes on the undercover video. The undercover videos are the fuel that drives the engine. It gives them a reason for anyone to even care or pay attention to it. So the better we can do at getting our producers prepared, producers doing the right thing on the farm, doing a better job screening of their employees coming in, fundamentally practicing what we preach, you know, and looking at it, that, and the story that's finally getting out is we too are biologics, both humans and animals, and accidents do happen. The undercover videos are having less of an impact than they did because they're just wearing thin on the process. As we get in and talk more about the commitment that we have, MPPC is chosen to participate in those shareholder meetings, stand up and voice in our voice for those shareholders and the support of the industry. And so every meeting that HSUS, whoever is at, we're there for a counter voice to stand up to, so that their shareholders and their officers and their board members hear that, so that they're not just hearing from some other side of the equation. And our response mechanism to that when the event, a video occurs. And we have had some companies, for example, we're honoring them here at Pork Expo once again, Domino's Pizza, who has stood up and said, no, we're not going to work with these guys. So we are seeing some movement with companies that recognize, and we're hearing more and more of this, as we've got in, they said, we didn't know, they told us this, and you've got a different story, we've got a relationship with you on and out. So we hope that it's making a difference. That's not to say that next week we won't have another video. But I can tell you from the recent videos that's happened, the impact that they've had on the marketplace, either producers or customers, has been way less significant than the previous videos we've had. So with that, Dave, we'll be around, and we best get off here today. Get the other ones on.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you. Quick drop.